It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire, become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. On behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, we are so thankful that you are joining us here today. Now, this podcast, Retire Repurposed, is all about that retirement. But it's not about the money side. It's about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times, in our opinion, we have seen to be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can just flip that switch from working a career 30, 40, maybe 50 plus years, shutting it off on Retirement Friday, and then living out a fulfilling and impactful retirement without living what we call a repurposed retirement. If you want more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, on today's show, we continue to talk about this repurposed process. Have you ever considered that retirement could look very selfish? In fact, retirement is sold by society as a time when you can now dedicate your life to serving just you. But should it be this way? In this podcast, Ben Tejas talks about the key factor so your retirement doesn't prove self-serving, but rather one that has the biggest impact and legacy. Enjoy this episode. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. We are continuing our series on time, talent, and treasure. Today, we're going to talk specifically about defining your who. Who are you going to have impact on? This is a really important show. In fact, this is probably the most important show of this series, because this is where now everything that we've talked about in the weeks prior, you have to find the outlet, the people, the people group that you're going to use your purpose and repurpose for. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We've talked a lot about time, talent, and treasure. That's kind of the mantra of our financial business, time, talent, and treasure. We help retirees and pre-retirees steward their time, their talent, and their treasure. So we spent a number of episodes just talking about the importance of your time. How do you spend your time? How much time do you have left? What should you be doing with your time? How should you start each day? How should you end each day? What are some non-negotiables of every single day? And I think that that's a big differentiator between a lot of the shows out there, podcasts, books out there, any articles that you see on retirement. They're talking mostly about the financial side. In fact, I would guess 98 to 99% plus of all the content you're going to see out there regarding retirement is going to revolve around the financial side. Mind you, we haven't even gotten to that part of our equation yet. We've spent all of our time so far talking about time and talent. But if you missed any of those shows regarding time, that's a really important piece of this equation, because we've gotten in the habit of asking our clients, out of time, talent, and treasure, which one is the most important? And every single time our clients will say time. I pose that question to you. What's most important, your time, your talent, or your treasure? You could argue that the treasure piece perhaps is the least important one of the three, but yet that's the one that dominates the conversation so many times when it comes to retirement. So again, when it comes down to time, talent, treasure, time is your most important assets. It's a finite resource that we have. And so again, go back and listen to those shows that we talked about just specifically on time. Starting four episodes ago, we started now talking about your talent, leveraging your experiences. And this is really the start of defining your repurpose in retirement. It's the start of the entire process, going back and really understanding, spending time in reflection to look back at your life. You have, perhaps by the time you retire, 60, maybe 70 years of life experience to look back upon. You got a lot of data points to look back upon and say, you know what, man, I have had a lot of experience and life has taught me a lot of things. I do have a lot of wisdom. And when you take those life experiences and you reflect upon them, that it creates just that wisdom. And then we talked about really your abilities, your skills and your talents, your God-given talents that he gave you that you're just naturally good at. And then also the skills that you've developed perhaps in your working world. What has the world taught you? What has your career taught you? What did your business teach you over the years where you've been able to really become a high impact person? And then last week we talked about rediscovering your fire. We called your fire your passion, Your passion is kind of what really is your X factor, the thing that really sets you apart from things that, again, get you excited to set your heart on fire. Ben Tejas joins me on the show now, and this has been a show that we've talked about, or a topic we've talked about a number of times, but the passion is a really important piece because I think, and I mentioned it on last week's show, I see too many retirees, and probably you do as well because you interact with them much more than what I do, but too many times people just kind of, they lose the zest. You know what I mean? Like you see young people have no problem getting excited for the future, getting excited for their life. And too many times people retire and like the wheels start to slow down. I don't know how exactly to articulate that, but they kind of just lose that fervor. And that is where passion comes into play, and perhaps where they're starting to lose a little bit of that passion. Well, how would you articulate that?
Well, Jared, I guess I'd agree with what you're saying, first off. And you know, sometimes, you know, even when I'm not on the show, you come up with ideas and things that fit so well with how I would explain it. And last week was a good example of that. As you were talking about kind of rediscovering that fire, what came to mind for me is Ken Blanchard wrote a book years ago titled Refire, Don't Retire. Mm-hmm. And that book, Ken Blanchard actually played a big role with one of my mentors, Mark Dieterding, in kind of helping him kind of learn about more about leading Jesus' way and his book. So I mean, there's ties that go back there, and you didn't even know it. But as you were talking through that, the idea of you know, rediscovering passion for retiree is so important, and that's exactly what Ken and his co-author talked about in that book, Refire, Don't Retire. But essentially, they're trying, just like we are, to make retirees see that the best of their life may be yet to come.
Yeah.
Not if they don't live with passion, certainly. Mm-hmm. Not if they retire the way that the world would say, yeah, you're just done, move over, let younger people do it. But if you retire and do enjoy, yes, some time off, and yes, some rest, but you can't replace all 8 hours of your work week mm-hmm. with 8 hours of leisure time. It yeah. just won't work, right? And as you ended last week's show, you're talking about specifically who are you going to serve? And I love that, because you can have all the passion in the world and have all the talent in the world, but if you are focusing all of that on things that are self-centered, things that are about you, it's not going to give you really the fulfilling retirement that you hope.
Yeah, totally. I would agree with that. Why do you think people, more specifically, why do you think retirees lose that passion? Why do they go through a season where they just kind of lose the zest? What would be your opinion on that? I know the world's kind of telling them one thing that probably plays into it, but is there something deeper? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it is probably a little deeper than that, Jared. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that certainly if you were in a career where you were working and you had created value and you could see the impact of the work that you were doing on others,
yeah.
and you were leading a company, you were leading your family, you fill in the blank, but all of those things that come from using the way God created you to do more for the world around you, I think that when you take that away from somebody, mm-hmm. it's really easy to kind of lose passion and that, you know, that fire for life. You know, God made us to work. There was work in the beginning, right? God made Adam and Eve, and they were working the garden and enjoying that work. And I do believe that when people just simply take away whatever kind of work they did, whether it be creative work or work with their hands or whatever it is, and you remove that from people, it's really easy to lose passion, and it really easy to lose that fire for life, because that is part of how God made you. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do, again, is making sure that you engineer value add into every single day. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. I mean, you can go through a season, you know, a vacation or a break or a Sabbath time where you have very little of that, but you will run out really fast of energy without that passion and fire for helping somebody, you know, in and around your life.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it kind of goes back to how work has gotten a bad name. The truth is that work was probably one of the main platforms that people have had over the course of years, whether they really liked their job or not specifically, that's kind of irrelevant, but it gave them a platform. So what you're saying is once that goes away, now all of a sudden the platform, the not the ability, but again, the avenue by which to help other people starts to go away. And then the byproduct of that is that your passion starts to slip away as well.
Yeah, and it should be at a time when you're at the peak of, I mean, you've got all the life wisdom, you've got the experience, you've seen so much in your life, and you actually have so much more to share, right, than what you did when you were in your 20s and 30s and 40s. But yet now, it's like, well, I'm removing that avenue to impact people. You have to replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. If you missed last week's show, again, it was called Rediscovering Your Fire. Go back and check it out. Download it on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure you subscribe while you're there. But that's a really important show and leads us nicely into today's show. So today we're going to talk about discovering your who. And again, think about this in the basically kind of like a roadmap, you know, discovering your repurpose, where we talk about your experiences and your abilities and your passions. And now we're going to kind of wrap it up and put a bow around it with your who. That's what we're going to talk about here today. And through this process, the whole point of this is to make you understand kind of more who you are and what your life is going to look like in retirement. Ben, let's get us started. Where do we want to begin with talking about your who?
Well, like you said at the onset of the show, this is the most important part of the whole process. The most important thing you can do when you're looking at your talents and where you have passion and your life experiences is combining it with someone else. Let's just start there, right? We know that, and I think Simon Sinek has a great quote out there, the value of our lives is not determined by what we do for ourselves. The value of our lives is determined on what we do for others. And it's so true. I mean, you know, people, this is nothing new to us. We're not creating this idea, oh yeah, you have to be mindful of others' needs. You have to be thinking of others in order for you to be happy. It's so basic. The Bible talks about that all the time, right? And I just think people lose sight of that. We need to be reminded once in a while, why am I down? Why am I struggling? Why am I feeling empty? It's because I'm not impacting others. And that's why this show is so important. We can talk about talent and passion and abilities, all the other stuff we've been talking about. Yeah. But if you're using all of that only for your own good, it will be short-lived. The high you'll get might be there for a bit, but it'll be short-lived.
This reminds me of when, you know, I was helping you, you know, write the book Repurposed, and we were toying with the idea of titles and, you know, cover art and colors and all of that stuff. And I remember there was a specific title that you wanted to bring up to our publisher and throw it on the whiteboard as a possible title. And that that title was Retirement is Selfish. Now, long story short, that got ixnayed and we went with a different title. But, you know, tell us why you came up with that as a possible title and why that was near and dear to your heart.
Well, because it's true. You know, I think, Jared, I think there's a very selfish thing to actually retiring, to saying, okay, I'm not going to, if you're retiring the way the world would have you anyway, I'll have that caveat. And that's what the publisher didn't like is, well, they haven't, you know, they don't know what you're really saying. And I think that's part of the problem. Hopefully they'd read the book and figure that out and not just look at it and turn away. Yeah. But if you're retiring the way that the world wants you to retire, it is about you. It is solely about you being able to spend more time on the golf course. It's about you being able to spend more time fishing, you being able to spend more time with your grandkids, even that. Okay. So when we look at why the world would tell you to retire, it's so that you don't have to work and add value to society anymore. And you can just live on your savings. You can stop impacting the kingdom of God. You can just live on your savings. You don't have to earn anything now. You can just do whatever you want to, which by default means you should just rest and relax. And I think that's why I still like that title for the book. And if I rewrite it, I might use that title because I think the act of retirement in itself, if it's looked at the way the world would have you retire, it has you squarely at the center of that decision and nobody else.
Yeah, yeah. I can think back to a book that impacted me a long time ago, and it's old. It's an old book now, but a lot of people probably listening to this have heard this about this book, but The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I remember when I became a Christian, like my early 20s, and like Rick Warren was big, really big. Well, he still is big, but then he came out with this book, and I remember picking it up and reading it, and in the very first page of the very first part of the book, it basically says, it doesn't basically, but Rick Warren says it's not about you, period. Four words. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, that was pretty much the whole gist of the book right there. And I think it goes back to kind of everything that we're saying here, that, again, your life cannot be just about you.
And maybe that's the follow-up to retirement is selfish. Mm-hmm. Retirement is not about you. Right? It's not about you. It can't be. And I think if you're going to retire and make it about you, that's where you will find it is a selfish place to live. And it is a place that will leave you unfulfilled and unhappy.
No.
Right? It can't be about you. It has to be other-centered.
We're going to give you some tactics and some ways to think about who you want your who to be. But before we do that, let's talk about legacy for a little bit, because I think that is the byproduct of this. If you do this process, if you go through the process of defining and redefining your purpose and discovering your repurpose, it's going to come full circle. And as a result, you will leave a legacy. I think legacy is, again, A, it's a buzzword, but B, it's not like legacy isn't really, to me, the end goal. The end goal is living a life of purpose and intentionality. The byproduct, in my kind of how I frame it up, is legacy. But let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I would not want to have somebody come to me and say, you know, Ben, I just want to leave a big legacy. Like, my goal is to leave a legacy. Well, that might be what happens,
right?
As far as having a lasting impact on the world. But it would be, hey, I just want to impact as many people as I can, right? I want to make a difference in as many people's lives as I can. Well, you will have a legacy, regardless. I mean, if you're making a dramatic impact on the people around you that they won't forget, that they will continue to talk about, and they will live that out into their life and the lives after them, legacy will be a result. So you're exactly right. Legacy shouldn't be the goal. It should be the byproduct of living a life that is other-centered. Now, if we can add passion and our talents, right, and you know, you combine that to having that people impact, that's when you will find that real lasting legacy.
Yeah, for sure. You talk about the difference between legacy and inheritance. Being in the financial world, which we are, that is it's a term that gets used interchangeably, but in your mind, that's not the case.
No, I can remember early on in my business, people would have legacy seminars, and really all it was people selling you life insurance, right? And a way for you to pass wealth on to the next generation. Well, that's not legacy. Mm-hmm. That is anything but legacy. That's inheritance. And there's nothing wrong with that. If one of your goals is to get assets to the next generation, do some quote unquote what they're calling legacy planning. I would call it inheritance planning. Mm-hmm. But legacy, really, the definition should look like the sum of all of that you've added to society and the essence of your life that lives on and through others. Mm-hmm. That's what legacy is. There's no mention of money in there. There's no street sign with your name on it. A lot of people think, hey, I'm going to get a street sign or something named after me someday. Most people see that and they're like, well, that person just wanted to be known as somebody wealthy, mm-hmm. or they see their name on it. And in the end, they don't actually tie it back to you as a person.
Sure.
They see that name, but it doesn't go any further than that. No. So real legacy has to have like direct, genuine people impact in order to make it legacy.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you go through this process, well, two things that kind of come to mind is that, number one, it releases you from the financial burden. You know, so again, a lot of people may think, you know, I don't have like substantial wealth, so I can't leave a legacy. Well, that's not true, right? So the amount of wealth that you have is not a dictating factor on whether you can have impact and leave a legacy, which I think should be kind of liberating to a lot of people perhaps listening to this. And that's a good sign. But also too, it really kind of gets you honed in on what you could and should be doing. Because I think that a lot of retirees, from what I've heard from you, Ben, is that they don't think that they're going to get pulled in a lot of different directions. But when you don't have the plan and the process of understanding who you are and your experiences, and your talents, your abilities, and who you want to affect, you're going to get pulled in maybe a lot of different directions you don't want to do. You've seen that over the course of years, right?
Yeah, people get asked to do everything. I mean, clearly you got that extra 8 hours a day to fill.
Right.
Please volunteer for my organization, be part of this, do that. And most of those things aren't necessarily bad, but they're bad if they're not part of your, you know, where your passions lie, if they're not impacting the people that you want to impact. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times people get pulled in these directions. Like, yeah, I got to, you know, be part of this organization or that organization because it's, they asked me. Yeah. I would say no a lot before you say yes mm-hmm. with anything right after retirement. When you get into that mode, you should be saying no, 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 mm-hmm. allowing you to say that one yes. And that one yes, if it combines your talents, your passion, and mm-hmm. the people who you want to impact, yeah. that yes will be so much more valuable than a bunch of little yeses, sure. right? So say no a lot, say yeah. yes once.
What we're trying to do is really help people live a life of no regrets, right? Nobody can think of a worse case scenario than, you know, being near the end of your life and thinking that you didn't end it well or you didn't live it well. So what we're trying to avoid is that type of life or scenario where you'd ever think that. We have noticed that the people that are really pouring into people throughout their career and or retire life, they don't have that, I don't know if you want to call it a fear, but perhaps a fear like other people do. There's a specific demographic or at least a specific job that you talk about in your book, Repurposed, of people that we would consider retire really well. Talk about that.
I think the best group of retirees that I've seen, if I could categorize like these people retire well, I would say teachers. So if I look at how over the course of 20 years of helping retirees, it's almost always teachers do it the best. And there's some significant reasons for that. Much of it we're talking about today, Jared. I mean, it is very easy to see your people impact to a teacher, right? Many times they've taught for generations and they're able to walk with life after kids graduate mm-hmm. if they've made a meaningful impact on them and watch them thrive later on. There's some teachers in our school here that I went to that now have taught three generations. They've taught, myself, my parents, mm-hmm. and then also one of my parents and then my child. Yeah. So they've seen that and they're able to live and really see the impact that they've had on all of their students yeah. later on.
I've also known several teachers that have retired. They also tend to rest a lot better than other retirees. And I'm making massive generalization statements here, but not only do they rest better, I think they rest healthier because they're in a cadence of helping, and they not only know that they've impacted generations, their mindset is to add value. I can think of a number of teachers that we've helped retire that we know personally. And, they want to just kind of not be going through the school year after year, because it's a grind and many of them have done it for decades. But they're also, they still are in a mindset of adding value and helping people. So I think it's that combination of, yes, I've lived a really great life and helped tons of people, but it's kind of ingrained in them. And because of that, they just tend to retire really well, and they rest really well.
they've rest because they've had practice, right? The cycle of summer's off.
Yeah, that's another point.
And then working, yeah. and then summer's off. So you've had some practice with sure. that. So I think, just as a FYI for people, if you're not in that mode of retirement and you're coming into retirement and you're like, yeah. What could I do? Start practicing it a little bit. Take a little lesson from teachers where it's, hey, I work extremely hard and they deserve those summers off, yeah. but then they get that time, that window of break to kind of reset, refocus, and come into the next year. So again, that is part of why I think teachers, do tend to retire very sure. well. I think finally, they're also, Jared, big parts of the community. Teachers are almost always community figures in some way or another. So I look at going out, in our local town here, I run a very successful business. You would think people would be like, hey, Ben, how's it going? You go to the restaurants or the shopping center or whatever. And
rarely does
that actually happen, yeah. truthfully. But it almost always is, hey, Mrs. Tatius, because my wife was a teacher for years prior to staying home with our daughters. Mm-hmm. And we get more kids that come up to us and that now have their own children because, that was 20 years ago when she was, in her teaching career. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, Mrs. Tatius. And it is so cool to see that whenever it happened. It still happens today, even though she hasn't been actively had her own classroom for, yeah. For quite a long time. So yeah. I think that's the other piece is they're part of the community. And again, they're able to see their students' mm-hmm. lives and the impact that they've had.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about how do people identify their who? What would you say to somebody struggling with trying to kind of figure out who their who is going to be?
Well, we don't want to make it sound like it's super complicated, Jared. And most people, if you just sit back and think, you can figure it out real fast. It's the people that are in your life that you have continually popped up in your life, mm-hmm. right? For me, I'm going to say it's retirees and, you know, certainly my family. Let's start there. But outside of that, it's retirees that I see business owners and successful people trying to do more with their life. And then probably the people of Haiti. You know, I've spent a number of years going down into that part of the world and just seeing how they live. And now, of course, what happens is that you start to get closer to them and you have a few organizations that you support down there and they become part of your people group. So it can be as close to home as your own children and grandchildren. And it be as far as across the world, right? And you'll probably have some in each category.
Hey, everybody. Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.